Welcome, everybody. Welcome back to your daily edition of the Trick Podcast of Joy here with my Gosa Bell on this beautiful Monday morning, May 13th, 2019. Welcome, my dear Gosa family. Thank you for being here today. Welcome back to my channel. Welcome back to this episode talking today about the idea of how to get through the low times on your way to the top. How to get through the low times on your way to the top. So this will be a little bit of a journey that is unique to many of us who are in the creative field. For me, obviously, you know, I lead a church. I also have a business, Trig Media. And I think all of us, whatever we do, if you're definitely a creative type, you are going to experience highs and lows. So I'd say over the last 6 months, maybe. Yeah, I would say 6 months. I was just writing a friend an email about this. I have been depressed in what they call a working, you know how they have working alcoholics. I would say I was a working depressed person. In other words, it wasn't like every day I was in my PJs sipping coffee till 2 p.m., although I did that a lot. But I would say that it was more of a kind of an ongoing kind of lack of consistent energy, lack of consistent kind of I know what to do next. Maybe that's the best way to describe it, at least for me. And maybe you can relate to that. You know, you kind of have these moments where you kind of get it and you feel like you're on the right track, and then you go back to having no clue what you're supposed to do. And so I want to give you a little bit of just some of the things that I've learned along that journey, and then begin to describe how I'm coming out of that season, because I feel like maybe the last, I would say really like 2 to 3 weeks, maybe a month, I've begun to come out of that. And actually, I want to tell you about kind of what triggered the coming out, per se. But let me go back to the beginning and see, maybe you can relate to some of these things and learn from kind of what I'm learning. So I think it all began when I began to feel anger in my heart versus love, but maybe more than love. I'm a very loving person. I love helping people, uniting people. I'm very opinionated, definitely. I'm very prophetic in my attitude. But at the end of the day, I really want to unite people. And I really, most of all, want to love people. But for many different circumstances, because of many different circumstances, I began to experience a lot of anger in my heart because people were hurting me and those that I loved. And so all this stuff got triggered in me about injustice and about, in some ways, not knowing what to do, or maybe somewhat of being afraid. But I would say, for the most part, it was just frustration. I didn't know what to do, how to handle the mess. I was trying everything I could. I was praying. I was thinking through things. I was talking to my friends, but nothing seemed to work. And in fact, things kept getting worse and worse and worse, and nobody knew about it. Only a few people that I was close to knew about it. Of course, my wife and a few other people. Finally, this all came out, and it all kind of got resolved, and God did amazing things. But going through that process brought a lot of anger, and then that anger turned into depression because I, as I said, I didn't know how to deal with this. I didn't know what to do. And so I experienced a lot of stomach issues, which I still am dealing with some, but less and less, and I'm a lot better. And then the depression, the anger turn into depression. So I began to isolate. But what really saved me is, of course, my wife, who heard me every day and prayed for me every day. I mean, and then also my therapist. I went to therapy for 3-4 months during that time, and he really saved me, as well as my wife. I prayed. I sought God. I worshiped. I wouldn't say that I was some spiritual giant during that time. I think finally, towards the end of it, I finally gave up, you could say, and I began to pray a lot more. And And I'm convinced that it was the Holy Spirit, especially the last 3 months, that really carried me through that experience. But I think the frustration of it all was what really got me down. I was working so hard at fighting all these enemies and what I felt were demons and distractions and satanic influences and all the stuff that was coming at me and trying to kill me, destroy me physically, emotionally, spiritually, and all that I stood for and all that I was doing. And I felt in many ways alone in the battle, like most leaders do, because I think the genius of Satan, if I want to call it that, is that he blinds the eyes of most people. There are only a few people that get it. And so when I began to experience all this stuff, I felt like nobody knew what was going on. So I brought in some mentors. I brought in some people to help me. And even in that process, I feel like a lot of the people that I was working with didn't know what was going on. Now, at the same time, I did have maybe two or three very spiritually powerful, I guess, or spiritually awake moments where we had, I remember this one time on a Monday morning, I brought this prayer warrior, kind of a spiritual expert in prayer, and she prayed over us and God spoke to me. God spoke to all of us. She had some prophetic words over me, and it was one of those very godly moments. There was another time where I received a vision from God. I went to this one church, got out of my car, and God immediately spoke to me. And then he told me to do very specific things, which I did, and God was victorious. And so there were two or three very clear moments where God led me and protected me and brought people around, not only myself, but the ones, those of us who were kind of in the middle of this, to protect us and to encourage us. It was very similar to what Paul went through in Corinth, where he felt rejected and depressed and wanted to just quit. And then God spoke to him and said, don't quit. There are more people that are for you than against you, or against me, really. And so God gave him the victory. So that's how it happened. And I look back and I think, first, how close I was to just surrendering, turning in the towel, or throwing in the towel. I was very close a few times, at least once, if not twice or three times. Second, how I would say, yeah, it almost took me out. I mean, emotionally, spiritually, physically, it was very close to just taking me out for a while. And then third, the grace of God, I think, was so clear in my life through these visions and prayers and people and therapists, divine appointments, just all of these things, his presence. Finally, the whole thing ended, like I said, about a month ago or so, when I had this final, I would say the horrible 6 months of depression and spiritual attacks, I would say it's actually more of a year, but it kind of got worse and worse, and it finally ended, I think it was in February of this year, so late February, where I experienced maybe one of the heaviest spiritual attacks that I've experienced in a long time. It was personal, meaning it was a personal offense, it was malicious, it was intentional, it was specific, it was just horrible, it was demonic, that's all I can say. But at the same time, God helped me to be calm, to respond with love, if you can believe it, to respond even with vulnerability. I stood against it, of course. I denounced it for what it was. I didn't give it any credit. I did go see my therapist, I think, the next day, and he actually gave me a high five and said, hey, you did a great job, because I didn't respond in anger and hate like I normally would have, and maybe like I normally should have, taking into account the kind of frontal attack that I endured. But I do thank God that he helped me to respond with patience and with kindness. And I think that's why God gave me the victory. So even though I didn't know that day was the victory, that day, I would say without a doubt, was the day of reckoning, the day of justice, the day of the atonement, the day when all of the sins of all these horrible individuals and all of this horrible stuff finally was defeated by Jesus. But the battle wasn't completely won until really the next month. So I think it was maybe around April or so, March, April. Finally, something happened that this is when I knew. Like the minute that I found out about something that happened, I immediately felt the weight lifted off of my shoulders. I knew in that moment, in my body and every and spiritually, that the battle had been won, that Jesus had won the battle. And that's when my depression lifted. And that was, like I said, just kind of over the Lenten season, as usually happens. That's when Jesus does miraculous things in Rochelle and my life. He's done this many times, I would say 5, 6, 7 times. And so I didn't really expect this miracle. And I don't even know if it was before or after Easter. I would say it's right around that. But regardless, it was right around this Lenten season. And so I give praise to Jesus. And I knew immediately when I heard the news that that was the beginning of a new day. And so now these last few months, there have been some amazing moments of just pure joy for me. Just pure joy. And I'm not completely healed. I've told people, especially Rochelle, that it's going to take me probably all of this year to heal from the disaster of the last 12, 18 months. And only her and I know the extent of the attacks, but I know that I am healing. I'm still waiting for my body to kind of catch up with me. I still am dealing with some stomach issues and stuff like that. But I would say that by the end of this year, I will be 100% and have my body be where my mind and my spirit are at. So I'm looking forward to that in Jesus' name. Now, I tell you all that because I think that it's important to document the journey of the creative, of the leader, of the spiritual prophet of God, of you and I as men and women who are waiting and doing so much to see things through. In your, maybe you're doing this in your personal life with your family or your grandkids, or maybe if you're a younger person, you are hanging on to Jesus, even though maybe financially you're not well, or your boyfriend or your mom aren't well, even though there may be pressures at work, or you may be dealing with your own kind of health issues or school. You know that you're called to something great, and I want to be someone who you can at least identify with and say, okay, if God helped him, he can help me, because God helped me and God got me through that. I'll tell you one thing that I have to remember, or that I need to say, just going back to that horrible 12 months. It got so bad that someone that I really cared for basically just came within inches of my face and almost hit me. And this was a female, someone who I actually really respect and have enjoyed. But Satan got a hold of this person, and they almost punched me. And they yelled and screamed, just like I said, an inch away from my face. And I remember I had a friend next to me that was just waiting for me to basically push this person away. Of course, I would never hit anybody, but just to at least kind of like push this person away. But I didn't. I didn't even look at the person. I didn't lay a finger. I was boiling inside. Everything in me was saying, at least yell back, because she was yelling at me. But instead, God gave me the, I don't know if it was peace, but definitely the restraint, I guess, self-restraint to just endure. And after the fact, I talked to my friend. I said, man, that was horrible. And he said, I was praying the whole time that you wouldn't do anything stupid. And he said to me, God helped you to be strong. And he said, people of God show restraint under the worst of times. And that's what happened. So I tell you that because that was the extent of the kind of the attacks. And I'm sure that you've experienced similar things in your own journey to honor God and to love Jesus. Satan is a liar. He is like a roaring lion, but he certainly comes. When you think of Jesus himself, when Peter reprimanded him and rebuked him and said, may it never be that you go to the cross, Lord. And Jesus had to turn to Peter and say, get behind me, Satan. You do not know the things you're saying. You're speaking like a fool, basically, not the things of heaven. And that's basically what I had to just realize, is that Satan is a liar. He's trying to defeat me. And I have to rebuke him in Jesus' name, even though some of these things come from people that you normally would respect. And so, now, what are the lessons coming out? Well, I think that first, as I said, the lesson of just being vulnerable about the journey, I think that's very important. So I would recommend for you to, I'm not saying you should start a blog or a podcast like I do, but find a way to write this down, to talk to someone about the journey itself. I hid from, I would say, I didn't hide. I hibernated, it would be a better way to put it, from 99% of the people in my life. I had to, because for me to go out there and just bleed and just vomit all over people about my mess, it just wouldn't have been appropriate, especially as a leader, especially as a person of God. So I tightened my circle to just a few people, my wife, a therapist, and a trusted friend or two. And I would say that's the first step, is tighten your circle. Number two is to pray at all times. And prayer is personal. It's with someone sometimes. A lot of times it's someone praying over you. But I would say that's very important. Number three, I would say to seek a coach. During this time, as I said, I sought mentors, my therapists, people that I trust, that know me, that are going to tell me the truth. They're going to congratulate me when I needed that and are going to say, you need to stop, when I needed to stop. I had this one friend who's a mentor and a friend of mine, and he's a trusted person who I've given access to most of my life, all of my life. And he said to me, okay, enough. No more of that angry stuff. Stop. And it really helped me. I thought, okay, that was God talking to me. Okay, no more. So that, I would say, is number three. And then I would say number four is to know that the battle belongs to the Lord. I mean, I don't have no other way to put it, but just as the Bible says, the battle belongs to the Lord. I think that when you're a fighter and you're a creative and you're a feeler like me, you feel like you need to win the war, and that every attack is to be won, that you're supposed to win every fight. I grew up that way. Like, I never wanted to lose. I mean, I just, it's not in my vocabulary. And so that is good, but it can get in the way of God's justice. And I would say this has been the biggest lesson for me, is to wait on the Lord for his justice. The battle belongs to the Lord. Vengeance belongs to God, not to you, not to your words or to your tactics. The battle belongs to the Lord. It's like when I hear stories, and this happened to me, of road rage, where someone cuts you off and you're going to go and chase them down and give them a piece of your mind, and you're ready to, you know, go to war with them. You're ready to throw down. You can't do that in the spiritual world. You have to let God. It's almost like, in terms of this car, if you're mad, it's calling the cops, or it's calling, I don't know. It's just surrendering the whole problem to Jesus. You have to, at some point, surrender your problem to Jesus, or the injustice in your life. The battle belongs to the Lord. The justice belongs to the Lord. And even if you lose right now, and it feels horrible, you have to trust that at the end of the day, God is going to give you the victory. And then maybe the fifth tip that I would give you is to never lose sight of the victory. Never lose sight of the victory that is coming. Even through all of those 12, 18 months of horror that I have been through, I never lost sight of my goal. Yes, of course I got weak, and of course I almost gave up, and of course I was attacked. But every time the Lord would say, get back up there, get back in there. Come on, get in there. Of course, my wife would be my biggest fan. Get back in there. Get up there again. Keep going. Don't give up. God is with you. And that's what kept me going. And now that we're seeing the beginnings of improvements and of joy and of, I don't know, just of hope, this is still the time to trust God. Because like Pharaoh, when that baby's born, what did Pharaoh do? He wanted to throw all babies into the Nile, because he was afraid of his throne, for himself. Same thing is going to happen. Satan, when he sees a fresh anointing or a new spiritual baby, people that are honoring God, he's going to want to throw them into the river and kill them. Of course he is. So we have to be ready and vigilant. But at the same time, don't lose sight of your focus. The battle belongs to the Lord, and he's given you a purpose, right? Yesterday I preached in Ephesians 2, where it says that we have been created for good works, that he's prepared even from the beginning of time. He has prepared you and me for great works. Since the beginning of time, he's gifted you, and he's called you to do something great. Don't lose sight of that, no matter how depressed or anxious or worried you are, or how angry or how frustrated you may be, or even how lazy, apathetical you may feel. You're procrastinating. You don't want to even get out of bed, no matter how depressed you may feel. Don't lose sight of your goals. Keep them on your wall. Have them in your Bible, in your phone. Throughout that whole 12, 18 months, I never lost sight of my goals. Every time I would go to work, every time I would come home, every time I would look at my wall and I have my vision board there, every time I would read my Bible, every time I would come on here and talk to you, I would always remember my calling, my giftedness, and most of all, the power of God. So my prayer for you today is that no matter where you're at, you would remember that the battle belongs to the Lord. Which of these tips hits home for you? Leave me a comment below. If you're listening to the podcast, just simply go to Facebook or Instagram or YouTube where you will see this this episode. Leave me a comment. What is God telling you that you need to do next? Let me know. Let's talk about it. Thanks so much. I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.